Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Wayne Klingman, your host for this Shiva Chronicles, where I talk about hemp, you know, in all its different forms, mostly industrial uses. But we're also going to touch on medical uses for cannabis. I've really been fascinated by that subject a great deal, as I suggested yesterday. A big part of that is I, for one, suffer with untreatable high blood pressure. Situations given me two strokes, perhaps three, and something I could die from or become disabled, horrifically disabled. I'd rather not, you know, it'd be one thing that killed me, perhaps. I'd rather not wake up in the wheelchair, you know, sort of thing. And so if I can find a treatment that worked, I'd be all over it. That's some of the things we'll be touching on in this show over time. So we're going to have two guests. We're going to have two shows a week. One will be a random day. What we're going to, with a perhaps guest, perhaps we talk about things I found out. But we're also going to look at doing a show on Fridays, perhaps, with a regular featured guest talking about the medical uses of cannabis. But let's go on to the show today. The show today is going to be talking about the human cost of the war on drugs. Now, I have to tread carefully here, because I'm not saying that all drugs such as meth should be legal. I'm not saying that crack cocaine should be legal. Far from it. I live in the inner city of Cedar City. I see the human costs of those drugs. I also see the human costs of the war on drugs. It's something we'll be talking about today at length, at least for the short time I'll be having the air on for show today, which is 15 minutes. Last report I read was a world statistic of a quarter of a million deaths from the use of illegal drugs, a quarter million. Well, that number's not quite accurate, I'm thinking. I'm thinking that when they say a quarter of a million deaths, in fact, I'm pretty sure a quarter of a million deaths, they're talking about people who perhaps OD on heroin, that perhaps, you know, do something stupid on meth and die, or another variety of illegal drugs and get killed because of it. I don't think they're talking about, in fact, I know they're not talking about, say the hundreds, if not thousands, of people who died in Afghanistan over the poppies, right? Or the opium poppies. They don't talk about the hundreds of people in the United States that die each year due to the drug trade or use of drugs or trying to get drugs. They don't talk of the tens of thousands of people that have died in Mexico, in Central America, over the situation in those countries with drugs. I suspect the true cost, the true human toll of the war on drugs, which is, of course, I'm going to include in a death toll here, for what we're talking about now, is in the millions. In fact, there's a show in Vice that I caught on HBO where they're talking about how people smuggle drugs from South America through Africa into Europe. And it's been, well, not so much to just that show, but when I started reading about this much more, that some of the wars which are going on now in Africa have a lot to do with controlling those drug trades. So we're talking of hundreds, if not thousands, of people dying there too, all over the drugs. And again, I'm not saying they should be legalized at all. I think in drugs like meth and drugs like cocaine, crack cocaine especially, horrific things. I will say that perhaps that we're looking at trying to snap it wrong, perhaps. I think for a fact that some of the things that we do to stop the war on drugs is backfiring, without a doubt, and that's all part of the human cost, because what good does it do to try to stop the war on drugs if in the resulting war we create a police state? Sure, we might be able to stop a little bit of drugs for a little while, but overall, we've created a far worse situation. I don't know if anybody can have an argument that actually says that, yeah, I'd rather live in the police state and not have rights and a bunch of other stuff and not worry about cocaine than live in a democracy, right, and have that a problem to deal with. I don't know too many people who, in fact, do that. Perhaps I'm wrong. I don't know. I actually like to have that kind of station that would tell me that a police state would be a far better thing to have, for all the good it would do, than having a democracy with the issues that that brings about. It would surely, too, when I look around my neighborhood, again, we're talking about Wisconsin, and some of the people who I see every day who either are on drugs, addicted horribly to them, or fighting to stay clean of those things, I find this. Those people have other things going on in their lives that don't necessarily force them to pick up that needle, force them to pick up that crack pipe, right? But contributed to those situations. And that's all, too, the part of the war on drugs. Because when we fight drugs, to fight poverty, we create a system where people, are kept as pets, maybe? Maybe that's the way to put it. That might be a bold statement, but give me an illustration. I live in the city of Wisconsin. I live in the inner city, as I keep saying. The families of my black, some of them who have not had a job in generations. We mean current child, that child's mother, that child's grandmother. Haven't had a job. When said child done good, in my opinion, and got an education at great pain and suffering, but they went and got an education and got a decent job because they went to school for the training needed to get a job, that her family was upset because that would mean that her, the child in question, and her kids would be off support. And she was going to risky territory. How could they do that to their children? How could they do that to their children? How could they do that? How would they live without getting that help? Wow. That's frightening. But that's true, a part of the war on drugs. Because we create horrific societies to try to make those societies better. No, things have to be done. There's no doubt about it. And that's something we'll be talking about in this show a lot, I hope, bringing people on the show to have the conversation of what do we do about the war on drugs? How, in fact, do we successfully fight a war on drugs? How do we successfully educate a society, bring about societal changes that perhaps does a better job on starting sapping the war on drugs, sapping drug abuse, right? Than other things. You know, I'm thinking this has to be a way. There has to be a way. I can't think at all of a life or a country that I want to be in where we use the fist to change things or stamp things than education, communication, and communication, right? Education, right? Societal changes to create a better outcome. In my perfect world, and again, it's my perfect world. My perfect world doesn't necessarily exist. But if we could go to a family in poverty, which is, but more prone to drug abuse, be it alcoholism, be it, crack cocaine, be it heroin, be it gun, only knows what. And somehow at an early age affect the children in a way that they see what's going on and give them actions to get out of it. But how do you do that? I don't know. I do not know how you do that, but yet I must say there's got to be ways to be able to. There has to be ways to be able to. I can't believe this is not. I can't believe that there's not ways to go and do things to change it without necessarily having a police state, without necessarily believing that somehow that our phones have to be tapped, their emails have to be read, that if Joe Blow from Kokomo is using a little bit more power than other people that he knows in the same area, he has to be dealing drugs. Therefore, we have to get a warrant and kick in his door. That when we stop a person driving a car that we suspect might be doing something, that we get the ability to take that person's assets even before he's been tried and convicted. Now, I'm not saying that people who are disobeying the law, let's say Mr. Heroin Dealer, shouldn't be, in fact, punished horrifically. I'm not saying, for fact, that their assets shouldn't be seized. I am saying that the war on drugs, as it's fought today by the forces allied against it, is often just as bad as the enemy we're fighting. I mean, I myself, and perhaps you too, have read articles where people have been pulled over, accused of whatever, and their assets have been seized, frozen, and the whatever, and not even able to go and hire an attorney to defend themselves. That's wild. And that's where we're at. I know many, I've read articles, that I'm not fact-checked by any means, I read the articles themselves, that talk about communities that make big bucks, asset forfeitures, that where communities have prisons, and the prisons are filled with mostly black youth, and the communities living off these prisons, which are basically have these kids in them for petty drug crimes, usually marijuana. And again, this is how we fight the war on drugs, where whole groups of people, usually black men, are treated horrifically. Again, I'm not saying that people convicted of drug crimes should not be punished. I'm not saying that at all. But are we punishing them when we could be rehabilitating them? Why aren't we doing these things? I don't know. Again, these are questions that we need to be talking about. These are questions we need to be discussing. Again, we're talking my perfect world. I know my perfect world doesn't exist, but I myself, I hope you too as well, would far rather have a first-time guy, let's say a young man, let's say we catch him for, you know, maybe he's abusing a little bit of heroin, maybe, you know, that sort of a thing. And we give him an opportunity to clean up his act. We help him to get off heroin. We help him to get rehabilitated. We help him to find self-value, where he's not now involved and keep on those horrific things that drove him to do heroin, that keeps him involved in heroin, versus throwing him in a cell and for 6 months, maybe 2 years, letting him go and find him right back to where he was. Have we done anything? Have we successfully fought the war on drugs in this case? Or have we simply made it worse? Because what options do they have? What options does a young black guy have after he serves a year in prison for a small pot crime, say, as we work to get marijuana illegal? Right? He's in jail. He's been there for a year. God knows how many he has in fines. He can't now have a job. He's now going to be labeled as a drug abuser, a drug user, a drug dealer. What kind of a job can he possibly have versus a situation that we can have where he is rehabilitated, finds self-worth, self-value, an ability to do more for himself, an ability to continue with the life, ability to better himself and his family. And again, this is all, it's a small thing of the whole wide gamut of the war on drugs. Again, a whole small gamut, I'm sorry, a small part of the things that we need to be dealing with as we talk about hemp, legalizing hemp. You know, because it so glams onto the drug abuse situation. And as the lady kind of sound, I even started to address Mexico. Think of the drug war in Mexico. There's one going on there now. Last summer I read the number of people who die in Mexico this year because of the drug situation, the war in cartels, is over 1,000. Wow. Perhaps as many as 10. That's sickening. That's a horrifically sickening thought. Anyway, that's all the time we have. God, I'm depressed now. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the words of support for my relaunch of yesterday. Best way to get hold of me is my email, which is wclingman@wi.r.com. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.